morning and welcome to KMUM Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, now streaming at KMUN.org. And my name is Ellis Conklin. So welcome to the first ever Conklin Files, a veritable buffet of both local and regional news, featuring such stories as the future of community theater, which we're going to explore today with our guest, Danielle Tinker, one of the prominent directors here in Astoria. And since this is our first time together, a little bit about me, at least career-wise. I've been a newspaper man most of my life. From the Anchorage Times, I moved up to larger dailies such as United Press International, the Los Angeles Daily News, the Los Angeles Herald Examiner, and the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. And now, time for the first edition of the Conklin Files. So let me introduce my guest, Danielle Tinker.
Hello.
Hello, who I'm honored to have here at KMUN Studios. Danielle was born and raised in Portland. She co-founded the Twilight Theater in the Portland's Kenyon neighborhood a dozen years ago and moved to Astoria in 2018 and spent some time on the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. Currently serves as the interim president of the Oregon Community Theater Alliance as well as executive artistic director at the 1015 Theater in Astoria, which I hear had its roof blown off on that day of the windstorm, right?
Yes. It's been a wild week. I have to preface that with as much concern as I have for the theater. The dance studio, the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, has it way, way worse, and my heart just breaks for them. Our damages were significant, but they are allowing it. We've still been able to continue with shows to get through the closing of our last production, but the dance studio is going to be out of commission for quite a while.
So what do you think of what is the future of community theater here on the Oregon coast? Let's just say.
Oh, goodness. I think that the answer to that question really varies depending on which theater you're speaking with. We all work together, but we all also have our own distinct missions. I feel for 1015, I don't want to speak for the others. For us, I feel we are greatly positioned to hopefully serve as a voice in our community to raise up stories that help others understand different walks of life, to find common ground, and also art as a protest in some aspects for what's going on in our world today.
Now, you've been performing on stage since you were 6 years old. So what memories do you have of maybe your favorite productions or your favorite memories, or what kind of stands out at 6 years? I'm 6 years old.
You know? Yes, I was one of the three French hens in the 12 Days of Christmas. wow, that's a long time now that I'm really thinking about it. Honestly, some of my favorite productions were in my 20s and 30s, I'd say, just kind of checking off some bucket list roles. Catherine and Proof, I did at the Gallery Theater in McMinnville in 2008, I believe. And then I would say Corey and Barefoot in the Park at Albany Civic Theater. That was in 2005. All's Well That Ends Well at Slocum House Theater in Vancouver. That theater no longer exists, unfortunately, but getting the chance to do Shakespeare was a really great experience for me. Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite theaters, you think? I mean, what are your favorite theaters or venues that you've been at?
Well, Albany Civic Theater, I just adore. It's in downtown Albany. It's right by the river there. And it's this great old historic theater that has slowly grown over time. It was originally built as a theater, if I understand correctly, but the storefronts adjacent to it, they've been able to slowly migrate their boundaries over. So they've got the lobby, which was a storefront, and that goes to their backstage area. And then the next little section is where the dressing rooms are. And I know they've grown since then, since I've been around there. Pentacle Theater in Salem is just a beautiful space tucked away in the woods, and performing there was always a lot of fun as well. And I love our little theater. Yeah. I really do.
How many seats does that one hold?
73.
So that's one of the smaller theaters in the county, right?
Oh, definitely. I believe Coaster's at 200-ish, give or take a few. Yeah. And I think Astor Street, I feel like Astor Street probably holds around 100. I don't have an exact number on that.
Because I know down in Nehalem, the Performing Arts Center at the North Coast Recreational District holds about 130, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely bigger than ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, these are tough times for theater in general. According to the Southern Methodist University's Data Research Center, see, theater attendance fell 19% and income fell 37% from 2023 to 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus.
I feel...
How do you survive?
Honestly, I think we're defying the statistics here in Astoria anyway. Our audiences continue to grow. That's not to say it's not difficult by any means. I know everybody is struggling right now. But I feel... In terms of our programming, we're really trying to reach a wide breadth of audiences, and I think our numbers reflect that.
So how do you do that? How do you grow that audience?
In our case, we like to refer to ourselves as theater that makes you think. So all of our shows are selected with the intention of hoping to... allow somebody to think outside the box of what their actual experience is in their bubble of a world. We all have our own perceived notions about how the world works. And if we can offer somebody a glimpse into an alternate way of doing things or an alternate way of thinking, I think that's really important.
Well, should give the listener an idea of how you come up with your new season. What the kind of selection? How does that process work?
Well, I generally come up with a theme, and that tends to come to me organically earlier in the year. So I imagine something will kind of spring to mind in the next few months as I start to think about 2027. And then I put out a call for directors, asking them to submit shows that they're interested in producing that would somehow tie to the common theme. And then I receive directing proposals, and I spend a lot of time reading and interviewing directors if they're people I haven't worked with before, and just kind of getting a sense for their visions and how they might work within our restricted space. And then I put the season together based on like what shows I felt were the best fit. Also, there's always a timing thing, because maybe a director can only do an October show, but I need somebody to do a June show. You know, there's some puzzle assembly involved as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've noticed that you do four productions, right? Most theaters do four productions.
We do six a year.
Six, okay. That's good. Six is pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I know the Coaster does 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know down in the Nehalem at the NCRD, they do about 4 to 4.
Yeah.
And then Tapa does down in Tillamook. How many do they do?
I'm not very familiar with Tapa, so I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the great Stanley Meisner once said that movies are going to make you famous and television is going to make you rich, but the theater will make you good. What do you think of that?
I think that is absolutely correct. I assume he is speaking in terms of participating in theater. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to hone a very specific skill set, especially to be on stage versus on camera. There's no do-overs. If something happens, you have to really be mindful and present of what's happening in front of you and be ready to react if something goes amiss and get things back on course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Give me your idea of the perfect rehearsal.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Everybody is on time and ready to go when they were called.
Which is rare.
And they have their pencils and their highlighters, and they've studied their notes from the previous rehearsal. I mean, aside from all the semantics.
Don't screw up their lines.
Yeah. Well, I mean, screwing up your lines is okay from time to time, because that's how you learn. But also just really being in the moment and ready to dive into the text of the script and figure out like what's really happening underneath the surface of the characters and having those good conversations about what's happening, not just memorizing the lines and going through the motions, but really understanding what is happening to the people on the page.
You know, it seems to me that from what I've understood, a lot of the theaters now are into comedies and farces and things that I know that are going to appreciate for, you know, the older people, older audiences are going to come to comedies and things like that. What about dramas? Not a lot of dramas going on.
I feel I do a lot of dramas at 10:15. I feel that I don't want to underestimate my audiences. Yes, we all want to escape. Yes, comedy does sell, and that's not to say we don't do comedy at all. We just closed a comedy.
Comedies sell better than dramas, you think?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's true. I think it depends on the quality of the production and what your target audience is. I don't ever want to assume that just because maybe the average age of our local population skews older, that means that they're not going to be interested in something that might be geared toward a younger audience. I mean, the people who are of that retirement age right now were once protesting Vietnam and burning their bras and things like that. So why would they stop having that progressive mindset just because they're aging?
Do you think theater right now is attracting older audiences overall?
I think that has to do a lot with income. I mean, that is definitely a barrier, as you mentioned in the quote from that statistic you read a little bit ago. Younger people don't have the disposable income that older people do to enjoy things like this. However, we work really hard to try to make it accessible with pay what you can nights and $5 for SNAP benefit recipients and things like that.
Well, younger people, too, have not had the experience of theater, of live theater.
That is true. I mean, arts in our schools have been completely decimated. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a side effect of that is people of my age and younger growing up not having been exposed to it as much. And so they don't know what they're missing.
Right. You know, the great Stella Adler once said that all directors are control freaks. What do you think of that?
Oh, my headphone just went out. I would say that might be a little bit accurate, but they also need to be collaborative if they're going to be successful.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Collaborative. I don't know. I think the directors are sort of control freaks, though. Really.
Oh, no, I don't disagree, but they have to temper it as well.
So what kind of actors are you looking for?
Anyone and everyone. Anybody who's willing to get up and try something new and be open to thinking outside the box and really working alongside one another and learning from each other. People who are background and education and all of that is great, but it means nothing if you're not a team player.
Yeah. Well, theater now, you know, when you get right down to it, theater seems to attract a lot of people that are not interested in theater. I mean, really, when you get down to it, when you think about it, when you think about theater in the North Coast community area of Oregon, you think about theater in terms of, let me think. What do you think about theater in terms of what exactly are you doing? For example, when you do Clue versus, let's say, 12 Angry Men, what exactly are you, what are your expectations of that?
You mean as a person involved with the production or as an audience member?
As an audience.
Oh, as an audience member, I've seen many productions of Clue, and they're all entertaining. I'm going for a laugh and to escape a little bit and have a good time. 12 Angry Men, I'm also going to escape, but maybe I'm looking to get a little bit more out of it intellectually. And there's goods and bads to both. Not bads. There's no bads in theater. I would say there's, one's not better than the other.
What are some of your favorite theater productions you've seen in the past? Just give me like four or five of them.
Oh, gosh. Well, I was fortunate enough to go to New York last winter and I saw Oh Mary. And that has been on my mind ever since. I want to do it as soon as it's available for community theaters to produce. It was a lot of fun. Let's see. Twilight Theater did a absolutely beautiful production of How I Learned to Drive a number of years back. That was directed by a friend of mine that still makes me think regularly. What else? Coaster's production of Proof was outstanding. I really enjoyed Cindy and Toddie's performances in particular in that one.
Yeah, I've been to the Coaster Theater. I think that the Coaster Theater is one of the better ones. I know Philip Patrick Lathrop, one of the directors there, and I think he does a great job.
He does.
He's one of the how many paid staffers do you have?
I have one half-time person that I was just able to hire last spring. Otherwise, it's been me.
I know. See, that's the thing about community theater, really. I mean, it's basically all volunteer, isn't it?
For a good portion of it, I would say, I mean, most of our directors and designers and crew people receive stipends for their work. It's certainly not a living wage, but it's something that hopefully at least helps offset their gas costs. And we're going to be providing stipends for our actors next year as well.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. How much money? Like, what is the terms of dollars for actors?
Oh, God. Well, for us, we're starting with $100 per actor for each show.
For each show. Okay. Mm-hmm. How long are your shows typically? They run about how many weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
We do 9 performances.
Nine does seem to be the main the number of. Of course, Coaster does about 13, right? 13
yeah,
to 14,
Coaster will do 13 to 20 something, I think, depending on the show. I know they've tweaked that a little bit in recent years.
So if you could just be the king of, let's say, the king of the country right now, like, Donald Trump, who wants to be king, what would you do for community theater right now? If you could just be,
I would fund the NEA in a way that would somehow get a dollar amount to each nonprofit community theater in our country. Maybe that's based on a sliding scale of what their budget is, but something that would go to support the community theaters that is not restricted to a specific project or programming, just some base money that would help them cover whatever needs to be met.
You know, one thing I've noticed now when I go to, let's say, to an audition, a lot of times you see the same kind of people there. You're trying to get new actors, right? New people involved. How do you do that?
I feel we've been pretty successful with that at 10-15, at least in this past year especially. We're trying to reach new faces, and most of our shows have been comprised of new actors. I would say we do social media posts. We do pay for sponsored posts from time to time. Post weekend ads, just posters,
recruiting.
Yeah, like tell your friends. We did a couple of musical type things this year, so that brought in a different type of performer that might not have auditioned otherwise. I think diversifying your programming and reaching as many people outside of your initial network as possible are the two keys.
So you think the future of community theater then is alive and well?
I absolutely do.
Because?
Because these are trying times, and in the worst of times, the best of art is created.
Well, I think you might be right. But, you know, again, you know, a lot of times you'll go to a performance, especially in the summertime. Is there certain seasons do you think you do better than others?
I would say historically for us, the March-April show tends to have the lowest attendance. However, when I built this upcoming season, I was looking at that, and historically we've had kind of a heavier show in that spot. So we're going to try a comedy this year and see if that maybe that time of year people just feel like laughing.
What will be the name of the comedy?
RX.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
And that's going to be locally produced?
All of our shows are locally produced.
Yeah, that's right. You have a different model than a lot of the others, right? Would you explain exactly how your model differs from some of the others?
Well, I think it's how we select our season. Mm-hmm. That's primarily the difference between us and some of the other theaters have play reading committees or other ways of selecting their programming.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of the other theaters seem to do the traditional, more traditional sorts of productions, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate.
Would you say Astoria is sort of more experimental? The 1015 is more experimental theater?
I wouldn't go so far as to say experimental because we still, mm-hmm. the shows we do are still they're mostly not out of the blue per se. They're just not as traditional. Mm-hmm. They're shows that you might more frequently see in Portland or bigger cities where there's more active theaters.
What would you say in Portland? Let's just go to Portland for a moment. What would you say the best production you've ever seen there is? Or the best theater to
the
see
best
a play?
Theater to see a play. Well, yeah. I'm biased to Twilight Theater Company, obviously.
Yeah, I know.
But actually, aside from Twilight, there isn't much actual community theater in Portland proper. Mm-hmm. A lot of the community theaters in the Portland metro area actually are in Beaverton or Tigard or Milwaukee. Milwaukee came to mind. New Century Players does great work. They did lose their space pre-pandemic, so mm-hmm. they've been trying to find a new location that would be more permanent. They've been hopping around and doing things in their community, but definitely check them out if you're in the area. As for the best show that I've, the first one that came to mind was a production of Closer, and I believe that was at Portland Center Stage, and that would have been in the very early 2000s, maybe 2001, somewhere there. I just happened upon it, and it took my breath away. And it's actually one that I hope to have a reason to produce at some point in the future. It's just a fascinating script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was that called again?
Closer.
Oh, yeah, Closer. That's right.
By Patrick Marber.
Yes, yes.
They made a movie of it a number of years back with Julia Roberts and Ellie Portman.
Usually the movie comes first and then the play comes second, right? Or
no,
the play comes first. Okay.
Oftentimes the play comes first.
Yes.
Yeah. I know Broadway these days tends to be like Stranger Things the musical, which is fine if it gets people in the door, but I have feelings about that.
Oh, in other words, productions will a lot of times make it into a musical?
Right. Yeah, there's been a lot of popular movies that have been turned into Broadway musicals as of late, and I guess I understand the marketing aspect of it, but I wish.
Give me a few examples of that.
Mean Girls, yeah. Legally Blonde, SpongeBob. A lot of the Disney ones were movies before they were turned into Broadway.
So then you believe that Stanley Meiser is correct. Theater's going to make you good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for coming in. I think that's about it for the first edition of the Conklin Files.
And, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in. And tell me a little bit more about what you're going to do about the 1015 and the windstorm that blew your roof off.
Oh, well, they are working as we speak. As I said, the Oddfellows owners have had contractors in there 24/7. I got a call last night that they're starting work on our space today. So luckily this will be mitigated quickly, and hopefully we'll be able to carry on as normal next month when our next show opens.
What's your next show going to be?
What the Constitution Means to Me. Directed by Jenny Newton. We have three amazing actors that have been cast in this role. All three of them are new to the 10-15 stage. Opens January 23rd, rents for 3 weeks, and you might just learn something about the Constitution.
And what's after that?
RX.
RX, okay.
And then beyond that, we have Sensitive Guys, Time Stands Still, Hurricane Diane, and Assassins will be our closing show of next season.
Well, thanks again for coming in, and I appreciate your time. And I think that's all we have time for today. And again, Conklin Files. And now, coming up, will be our next program. And thank you very much.
Rebelión, sin instante piden mi sangre, les doy por los habitantes.